Good evening.
Good evening. Welcome everyone to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Morgan and I am an alcoholic. Hello everybody. For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God.
Grant me serenity to accept things I cannot change, the courage to change things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. We are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. So out that way, let's see the little flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA simple actions. I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we will be discussing step 11, which is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And if you guys would like to help me welcome our panel, Pat and Winnie. All right, I will read the first paragraph on page 85, and then the panel will each share for a few minutes on the reading. Alright, page 85. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken.
Okay.
You go first, Pat?
Go ahead.
Sure. My name's Pat Arnold, and I am an alcoholic. One of the things I do, and this is part of my regimen every evening, is this is my version of a 10th step, is I say the prayer of St. Francis. And as I go through it, I think about what I had done during the day. And if I can close my eyes and sleep after believing I've done the best I could at trying to be more loving, more thoughtful, you know, bring hope, light, humor, and to life itself, then I'm okay. I know this is the 11th step, but it's through the power of this, the 11th step, that I'm able to do the others, and especially the 10th step, because I can admit my faults and everything else quickly, and it says it, you know, what corrective act measures need to be taken. I can do that with the strength of prayer and meditation. Now, I will say I'm not one to be able to sit down and cross my legs and meditate and go, that's not me. But if I'm, you know, I like to do woodwork, so if I'm working with a nice piece of wood, I can just, when I'm able to focus on one thing, then I'm able to meditate. And for me, that just works for me. And then I pass.
I'm Winnie. I'm an alcoholic. And, you know, when I first came into the rooms, I didn't pray at night and I didn't meditate because I didn't know how. I thought I did. I think a lot of us that come into the rooms, we think we know how to pray. We think we know how to meditate. My prayer before I came in was, oh my God, what have I done? God help me. Just make me feel better. Do all of that. And so I didn't know what I was supposed to do at night. And so when I got to step 11, you know, and they were like, well, you just talk. You can talk, so talk to your higher power. What I did at night was I started talking to a higher power that I had chosen at the time and just kind of carried on a conversation. It was a one-sided conversation, but it was a conversation. I wasn't one to get down on my knees. I hear, you know, a lot of people, oh, you got to get on your knees, you got to pray. I was raised hardcore Southern Baptist, so I don't believe in getting on my knees. So I did. I started doing the 11th step. I started praying. I was kind of stubborn, I think, like a lot of us are. You know, I didn't want to admit where I was resentful, selfish, dishonest. I didn't want to see any of that. But this is what the 11th step does for me. It makes me look at what I've done throughout the day. Where could I have been kinder? Where could I have been more gentle with my words? And it also gives me a chance to just kind of, not meditate, but just kind of get out of my head. I'm in a relationship with somebody that's in the rooms, and we do the Serenity Prayer at night before we go to bed, the whole Serenity Prayer. He made me memorize the whole thing. And we also do the third step prayer. And that just gets me, because once we've done our prayers, once we've done the Serenity Prayer and the third step prayer, we're done talking. We have no more conversation after that. And so that allows me to go inside my head and talk to my higher power and try to figure out, you know, where I could be better, and that, you know, tomorrow is a new day and I can start all over again. And that's all I've got.
Thanks.
The next reading is on page 86. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance. For after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it.
Where's David? Just want to make sure he hears me now.
I do get on my knees every morning and every evening. And again, in the morning, I go through this prayer. St. Francis is one of the prayers I start my day out with. And one thing I do with the Sarah prayer of St. Francis is, you know, make me a channel of thy peace, whereas hatred I bring love. Well, what I do is I put thy in front of every thy love, thy power, thy way of life. Because if I don't, I'm enough of an egomaniac that I will claim the good deeds that are being done throughout the day. So by making sure that I put God's name in front of it, I know that it's not me that's doing these things, and it makes it a lot easier. Let me put it this way. When I go through my prayers in the morning, the third step prayer, prayer of St. Francis, and some other things, I'm cleaning the slate for me in the morning, just making it easy, makes it easier for me to start, because I'm sure like many of us here, I've gotten up and rushed out the door, and 10, 11 o'clock, I'm wondering why everything is going to shit and back. And it's because I didn't clean my plate, or clear it in the morning, and didn't start fresh. When I jump right into action like that, what I've done is I've got these preconceived ideas about what's supposed to occur during the day. And you know, this is how my day is going to be. What I found is just having an open mind as the day comes along, it opens up, you know, a myriad of options throughout the day. So I get to choose which one I do. You know, one of the greatest gifts I've gotten in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous is the gift of choice. Before I got here, I did not have that choice. But here now I've got it. And now I won't say all my choices are great. I'm a human being. I make mistakes just like anybody else. But the majority of them are. And I will say that I do. I've had a career, a career that has taken me many places around the country. And when I would apply for a job or make any kind of big career change like this, I always say, you know, if it's your will, God. And by not having to put any kind of ownership on it myself, no matter what the outcome, I know that it's the way it's supposed to be.
Okay. Awesome. So when I wake up, I admit I'm an alcoholic. Still remind myself that I am an alcoholic, because I am an alcoholic. I'm like Pat, I have a certain routine that I have in the morning. I need a routine. I need to have that routine, just like I need to have a routine for bed at night. I need to know what time I'm going to bed and what time I'm getting up, and I get up early. I get up early because I need to have that quiet. I need to have that time to myself before everybody else gets up. I'm not a morning person to begin with, so. And what I do is I walk down the steps. I have my books on the table. I have the daily reflection. I have a book called Jesus is Calling, and I have my big book on the table. And there I do readings every morning. And that for me starts my day off, just like what Pat was saying, you know, to a great start, because I'm getting out of myself. I'm not thinking about myself. I'm thinking about what my higher power may want me to do today and making a good decision. There have been days that I have ran out of the house because I'm running behind and I haven't been able to do it. And my whole day, it just goes horrible, because I'm trying to take back my will. I'm trying to take control. I'm trying to make all of these decisions that are poor decisions. I'm not doing the next right thing. And, you know, I've had people tell me, well, you can start your day over. I can't go back home and do my readings. It just doesn't work that way. So I do struggle with that, but I do my best in the mornings to do my reading so that I am a better person for everybody that's around me, that I am a kind person, I'm generous, I'm just overall a nice person. You know, as far as the meditation, and it says right here, on page 87, it says, "Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes." For me, it was slow. It didn't come to me overnight. It didn't come to me in a year's time. And it still, sometimes it still doesn't come to me all the time. But I know that if I'm continuing to do this, I'm doing the next right thing for my sobriety and for me to be the kind of person that I need to be as a recovering alcoholic and practicing these principles in all my affairs. So, thanks.
The next meeting is on page 87. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, and that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why.
I was raised Catholic for the first part of my life, and so I learned real quickly to say 100 Our Fathers, 100 El Marys without thinking. And it was just going through the motions, I also saw where when I prayed for things or certain events to occur, it never seemed to happen. I grew up in a pretty screwed up family, lots of violence and alcohol and murders and everything, and so, you know, when you're a kid and you're praying for this stuff and it doesn't come out, it just, you know, why do I need to pray? And but I'll tell you where I truly learned to pray is after I was about sober for 5 years, and a dear friend of mine, Linda came in about 2 weeks after I did, and we went to almost every meeting together. We were like brother and sister in AA, and Linda developed lung cancer, and I was going over and over in my head, how do I pray for this? How do I pray for her to get well? And that's when the idea came, I need to pray for God's will, whatever it is. And that's been one of the most freeing things in my life. Linda passed, and I truly cared for her and miss her, but I don't know what was in store for her life had she survived that moment. You know, she might have had 20 years of agony. That's not my call. So when I can just leave it in God's hands where it is, it's going to be how it's supposed to be. And I'll tell you, I have two sons and three grandsons, and the ability to turn their will and lives over to the care of God has been one of the greatest and freeing gifts I've ever had.
Amazing. So I had something happen probably about 8 weeks ago where I actually felt an emotion that I'd never felt before. I felt hate for somebody, and it was such a deep, dark hate, and I've never felt that emotion before in my life. I'd never felt it, and I didn't know what to do with it, and I didn't know what kind of an emotion it was. And so my mom pointed out to me that what I was feeling for the first time in my entire life was hate. And I, you know, I came home from where I was at, and I called my sponsor, and so her and I met the next day, and she said, you know, you need to do the 11th step. You've got to work on this 11th step. You have to do the 11th step. And she said, and you have to pray for this person. And you have to pray for them to have everything, you know, happiness, love. And I was like, are you kidding me? I am not praying for this person. I don't like them. I don't want them to be happy. I don't want them to have anything. And it's not fair. And she said, and I said, can't I pray for myself to have peace? No, you cannot. I was like, wait a minute. And it came in when I started reading this 11th step. You know, it took me a couple of times reading it to realize exactly what I was supposed to do and why I was supposed to do it. I didn't know that I wasn't, I pray for somebody else so that they can have the happiness that I want, that they can have peace that I want. Everything that I would like, I want them to have as well. And it didn't come right away either. It took me a while, but I can actually tell you that today, because of this right here, where I prayed for them, and I was careful not to make any requests for myself. I mean, I seriously prayed for them. I prayed for them 24 hours, 7 days a week. I really did, because I didn't want to ever experience that feeling again, because it's not something that I really liked. And I can tell you today, I don't like them, but I don't hate them either. And I want them to be happy, and I want them to have peace, and I want them to have love, and I want them to have everything that I want. I want them to have that. And that was huge for me, because it actually made me realize that, you know, for the first time, it works. This actually works. I had to put some effort into it. I had to do some work, but holy moly, you know, when I got up that one morning and I didn't feel that dark hate for this person, I was like, thank you. You know, that's all I could do. That's all I did all day was thank you. I wasn't walking around with that hate anymore because of doing this 11th step and doing the next right thing, and actually praying hard for the first time for somebody else. So that's what I've got.
And I like to just add something. The first time that kind of situation came up for me, my sponsor, you know, he knew how to get me to think about things. And he would say, pray for them. He said, you really want them to be well. And, you know, what's one of the best things that can happen for somebody? You pray for them to go to heaven. Then you pray for them to go to heaven tonight. And of course, he wasn't serious, but it was a way to get me to open up and think about what I'm doing, you know, with the prayer. So he knew how to get me to think about things. So thanks,
Morgan. Hold on just a second, because there's something in the 12 and 12 that during this time I was writing everything down. I have note cards all over the house. I have them in my car. You know, it was thy will be done, not mine. All this stuff it's all over the house. But there was one thing that was really profound that I read in the 12 and 12 in regards to step 11, and it said, we will want the good that is in all of us, even in the worst of us, to flower and to grow. Most certainly we shall need bracing air and an abundance of food, but first of all, we shall want sunlight. Nothing much can grow in the dark. And that right there set me free when I read that, because it made me realize that even the worst of us deserve to flower and grow. So, thanks.
No, feel free. I love it when everybody goes back and forth. It's always fun. Thank you both. The next reading is on page 87. If the circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer.
I believe that the religions of the world have made a tremendous difference in just society in general. I believe that the teaching of right from wrong at an early age, and this is where, you know, I got most of mine, like I said, in the Catholic schools early on. But I'm also going to tell you that the God of my understanding now is not the God of my childhood. It's different. My conception of my higher power is completely different. But I am also quick to recognize the importance of the work that spiritual people have been able to complete in many religions. I often, you know, there's a saying that God never puts more on your plate than you can handle. And that's, I got a buddy of mine that was an analyst over in Afghanistan, and he was talking with one of the local imams over there, and he was explaining this philosophy to him. And the imam says, well, he says, we have a little different way to look at it. He says that we say God always puts more on our plate, so we know to turn to him. Mm-hmm. And so they're both great concepts, and they both mean that we need to turn to God. So I'm not going to condemn somebody else's religion. And like I said, I was raised Catholic for a while. When I go to South Carolina with grandparents, they were Methodist. And when I go to Florida, they were Free Will Baptist. So I've been sprinkled, splashed, and dunked. And exposed to a lot of different religious philosophies. But, I'm comfortable today with what I have. I take, my wife gets up and she has her own meditation period that she does in the morning. It's different from mine, but I've got mine, and we both respect each other's time and being able to have those few moments alone in the morning.
Like I said earlier, I was raised hardcore Southern Baptist, and that was going to the revivals, going to church on Wednesday, going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, going to camps, doing this, doing that. And when I told my parents when I turned 18, I was no longer going to participate in their religion. And I didn't. I did not. If my kids wanted to go to church, I would take them to church, drop them off, go back and pick them up. But I didn't want any part of it. I always said, y'all are a bunch of hypocrites. And my uncle, who was a preacher, called me a heathen. So I really didn't have any of that. So when I came into AA and I found out, oh my gosh, it's not a religious program, it's a spiritual program. That right there was enough to grab me and keep my attention. If it had been based on religion, I don't know if I would still be sitting here. I really don't. And the thing is, with this right here, AA has given me the chance to find my concept of a higher power, and to know that religion is okay. It's not a big deal. Whatever anybody believes in is okay. It doesn't matter to me. And I'm now going to church, which I didn't think I would ever go back to church in a million years. And I've actually found a church that I'm really comfortable in. They don't preach, they talk, and that's just amazing to me. And the other thing too is, Tim and I used to, in the mornings, because I wouldn't get up, I would get up when he would get up, we did do morning meditation together. And now that I get up a couple of hours before he does, we don't have that anymore. So I do my morning meditation by myself, and he does his by himself. And there are some mornings when we are able to do our meditation together, and that to me is an amazing experience right there, being able to do your daily devotions or whatever with somebody else. This program has given me a whole different outlook on, it says right here, helpful books or talking to this person or talk, because everybody has a different opinion and a different idea. And to me, that is amazing to be able to sit here and listen to what everybody has to share in regards to their religious beliefs or the books that they've read that have been helpful to them along this journey. Because you just never know what one person can say can help you along your journey in sobriety. And so I have to agree with Pat. Whatever somebody's religion or whatever their belief is, I think that's, as long as you have something, a higher power of some kind, regardless of what it is, I think that's a great thing. And I'm open to any suggestions that anybody has as far as when it comes to religion. So that's all I got.
One thing my sponsor told me early on is, just remember, it's not you.
Yep. Yep.
All right. And our last reading, bear with me. And our last reading is on page 87 as well. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does. Now on page 88 is, we alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. But this is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12.
Yeah, what this reading reminds me of one of the benefits of anonymity. You know, I love the fact that I don't have to be number one at everything. I don't have to be at the top. I don't have to push other people down to climb ahead. I like, there's somewhere in our literature, it talks about being a worker amongst workers. I love just being in the middle of the crowd. I mean, there was a time I spent so much time worrying about everything, about my status in life, about, you know, money, about, how am I going to make myself look better and all this other stuff. And today I don't worry about it. I just go about my job. And my job is retired. I don't have to worry about all this. This anonymity just frees me to be who I want to be during the day and to make the decisions I want to make during the day. I don't have to plan it all out. I don't have to do all this other stuff. I just, take it as it comes. I'm not that salmon trying to swim upstream anymore. I'm just flowing with the river. It's pretty cool.
So I'm a huge competitor. I like to be on top. I like to win. And when I came into the rooms of AA, it was kind of difficult for me because I had to, I had to rely on something, somebody, something else, a higher power, somebody that I couldn't see, I couldn't feel, I couldn't, I had none of that. And who wants to do that? Not me. I still thought for a while there that I could still be in control and that I could do it, and it became very apparent that I couldn't and that I had to rely on something else, and I can still be competitive, but I don't, and I still can win, but it's different nowadays than it was back then. I know that I have somebody on my side, my higher power, who is going to get me through the good times as well as the bad times, who's going to be there with me through any of the, like they said, excitement, fear, anger, worry. My higher power is there. All I have to do is make sure that it's his will and not my will, that it's not me that's trying to push the envelope, that's trying to get it to go my way, because I know for me, I can say, "Yes, Lord, it's all you. You are doing this, you are doing this." And then the next instant, I'm going to turn it just a little bit, because I want it to go this way. And that's not how it works. I have to truly concede to my higher power and say, "It's all you. You have to help me with this. I am not able to do it." For me, that was very difficult. And sometimes it still is difficult because I like to control. I want to be in charge. I want you to do it my way, and that's the only way that it needs to be done. And my higher power doesn't know any better. I know the best. So throughout the day, I do pause a lot, and I still, talk to my higher power. When I'm at the gym, I have a tendency to talk to my higher power a lot more than I do any other time. But I have to remember that as long as I'm doing the next right thing, that it's okay. And as long as my higher power knows that I'm doing the next right thing and he's in control, like they say, driving the bus and I'm just a passenger, then I'm okay. And the one thing that has saved me in the rooms of AA is that I know that I don't have to be perfect, that I don't have to do the 11th step perfectly. And for me, that is a saving grace because I was such a perfectionist. And now I know that I don't have to. If I pray today to my higher power, if I pray tonight when I go to bed, I'm doing good. And if I just say, hey, look, I'm really tired. You know where I'm at. Just help me get through this, that I'm going to be okay. And I don't think my higher power is one of those that is the hellfire and damnation anymore. So he gets me. My higher power knows exactly where I'm at, and my higher power is going to do for me what I can't do for myself. And for that, I'm extremely grateful today that I have AA. And, you know, it's just like they say, faith without works is dead. And I actually understand what that saying means today. And so I'm grateful. So thanks.
It's, you know, there's so many gems in our literature and in our life. And, you know, it talks about much less danger of the excitement, fear, anger, worry. When I start getting upset, there's a spiritual axiom that whenever I am disturbed, there's something wrong with me. It took me a long time to figure that one out. But today I understand that it's okay to get mad, but then you got to get over it. Mm-hmm. And when I got here, I'd been taking all my emotions through alcohol for so many years. I didn't know what an appropriate level of anger was. And it's only been since I've been in the program that I've been able to figure that out. You know, how mad should I get at this? And how long should I hold on to this? And then my sponsor threw another spiritual bomb at me, and he said, which would you rather be, right or happy? Mm-hmm. And that one can be a tough one sometimes. Because my first reaction, well, I'm always happy when I'm right? but when you consider those around you, you know, maybe that's not the best thing.
Yeah. My first sponsor, because when you first come into the rooms, or at least for me, when I first came in the rooms, I was feeling all of these emotions that I didn't know exactly what to do with them. You know, the fear, the anger, the worry, the excitement. You know, one minute I'm up, one minute I'm down. I didn't know. One minute I was a raging lunatic, and the next minute I was like, oh. And what she told me to do is to set a timer for 15 minutes. And for those 15 minutes, I could cry, scream, yell, cuss, say nothing, do whatever I needed to do for those 15 minutes. And once those 15 minutes were over and the timer went off, I was done. I had to put it behind me and I had to move forward. And thank my higher power that I had those 15 minutes to get it all out and so that I could move forward. And I couldn't pick it back up. Once that timer went off, I had to lay it down. I was done. And, you know, the first few times that I did it, it might have been a half hour or 45 minutes. But then it got to become more of a routine where it was that 15 minutes, and I was okay. As soon as I got it out of my system, I was good to go, and I didn't have to pick it back up, and it was gone for good. So, you know, it's nice to be able to, happy or right, I want to be happy because I'm right, but I think that some of the tools that we've been given in the rooms have really been a blessing in disguise.
You guys have anything else to add for step 11? I can pick a victim.
Pick a victim.
Yeah, I'll pick a victim.
Yeah.
Are you thinking who I'm thinking?
Yeah, why not?
Right. We got some time. Grant, do you have anything to say?
I'm Brad, I'm not calling.
Hey, Brad.
No, as you guys were sharing, I'm reflecting on my poor performance of the 11th step in my daily life. And I'm just reflecting on the idea that at the end it says, we are disciplined in this way, because I'm undisciplined. And when I first read that, I had this immediate retaliation to that statement that you were going to beat me over the head. And my first sponsor pointed out, have you ever done martial arts? And oddly enough, I had. So it became clear. His point was discipline is wax on, wax off, right? Like just keep doing this day in and day out and you'll get better at it. And I'm still getting better at it. I'm not very, you know, diligent or consistent with this step. But I was thinking about the 10th step is kind of like when you're cooking a meal, right? Maybe you're cleaning up this or that along the way. You're trying to organize what you're cooking as you're doing it. And then at the end of the night, there's still dishes to clean in the sink. There's still things to put away. This 11th step represents that at the end of the day. That like during the day, I can take actions to clean up messes as I made mistakes or redress something that happened during the day. But this 11th step allows me to look at the things maybe I overlooked. I was too busy in the moment to stop and see that I had stepped on someone else's toes, or just take the time to review the fact that I'm just a human being, I'm imperfect, and that I can do something to clean it up if I made a mistake. Or I can see that, hey, I actually might have done a pretty good job today. I don't have to completely recriminate myself for the actions of the day, whether they're perfect or not. And throughout that, I can wake up the next day and think about, you know, I love that somebody finally pointed out to me, it says, consider your plans for the day. And I was always like, I got all these plans for the day. And this is how it's going to go. And then I became aware of, consider, here's a series of events that I might think might play out today, but I'm going to ask God to show me where I'm going to go with it. And sometimes things just get X'd off the list without my consultation. I don't get any say in it. And then new things get placed on the list, again, without me getting any say in it. And when I'm doing this step even moderately well, I'm okay with that. And I find that I'm able to just take that deep breath and exhale and have that sense of peace and serenity that it's all okay. That really none of the problems I have today are insurmountable by God. I liked what you were saying, Pat. It's like, for a lot of different versions of that, God never gives us too much to handle, and the one I kind of fall back on is life gives me no more than God can handle. And if I can remember that position, then it's not me deciding how to get through this. All I'm doing is standing in a position to allow God to push me through it. And it's okay. That's all I got.
Thanks.
Mike, you're looking a little fluorescent back there. You have anything to say about step 11? You're just kind of asking for it with that jacket on.
Hey, everybody. My name's Mike.
Mikey.
I guess when I was listening to you guys talk, I wasn't listening. How's that? I'm sitting in a pity pot. Life's here, and you know, life's, it's, you know, it's family, it's health, it's work, it's blah, 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 blah. But what I have to realize is that I need that conscious contact with God every single day. Because listening to you guys talk, I was like, wow, that sounds nice. You know, what you guys are saying, it does. You know, because I have to remember, well, I got all worked up all weekend, and I'm still worked up, and my wife called me today freaking out, just freaking out. What are you doing? What are you going to do? What's going on? And I was fine. I'm good. But when I'm not doing, when I'm not praying, I'm not meditating, it shows through my actions to other people. You know, she's as sick as I am. She's not an alcoholic. but she stuck with me through some crazy times, you know, through some just terrible things, and I can scare her, you know. I scared her today, you know. She's like, "You're acting like you used to act. You're gonna jump and you're gonna do something that's so stupid." And but if I, at that point in my day, I just prayed, you know, and I was fine. But I have to do it, like I said, continually. She doesn't know that, you know. It shows in my actions. It shows. I was a total mess because I wasn't letting God direct it, take it. I wasn't doing that. I was in charge of all these things. I'm not a doctor, but I'm going to fix this health thing. You know, work's going a little crazy, so I'm just going to retire. That was the plan. You know, I'm done. You know, one of our daughters, it's beautiful. One of our daughters got engaged, and all we can think about is the money. You know, we're like, we should just be happy. And we really are, but like, our first daughter ran away, so we never paid for it. Do you want to go do that? That's what else fun. Go do that. So, I just, from what I heard you guys say, it made me very calm. I'm glad I'm here. I have to do it. It's just part of the day. It's part of the routine. It's got to be. It has to be, because when Mike's back in charge, it's a mess. So thanks.
Thanks. All right. BJ, you have anything to say?
This is kind of fun. Some days are better than others, but I say a lot. Work generates a lot of inventory for me, so there are multiple times a day at work, especially, I have to pause when I'm wound up. When I was new in AA, my sponsor, I would call her every day for her instruction, and she would say, did you get spun up at all today? Did anything spin you up? And some of that step 10, you have, you know, step 10 urges you to be awake at all times and to start earlier, I'm going to pause when I get that achiness, pissed off or unsure, and say, God, please give me the right thought or action. And that sounds too easy to work, but it's crazy, it does. I didn't, like, so much needed wanted to. I was like, oh, God, here we go again. Give me the right thought or action. But I can't even give an example, but there are so many times. Sometimes I just get a sense of peace, and I'm able to walk through it, and that's all it is. But that's better than acting out in anger or being self-seeking and then having to amends and all that jazz, which does happen to me, but much less when I'm awake and saying that prayer. And I think Pat said it, my favorite part of this whole reading is we become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we're not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. And Grant kind of spoke on this too. I do the same thing. I wake up and I'm like, here's my plans for the day, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And that's not the idea. I heard a speaker say something I really liked. And they compared step 11 to a commanding officer planning a war and going into each day and saying, okay, well, these horses are lame. I'm going to pull them out of the line. These soldiers are going to fight. They've had a couple days to rest, this, that, and the other, and kind of setting the stage for a successful battle. And for me, that is kind of what step 11 is all about. It's not for me to tell my higher power, this is what I'm doing today, I'd love your help. It's for me to say, these are the things I know are coming up, and I need to be aware and awake when the time comes and be communicating with you and listening. But there are also going to be things that I cannot guess are going to happen. They're going to pop up. And this stuff is just kind of like a safety net for me. It catches all the stuff I'm missing, step 10, as was also said. Thank you guys so much for speaking, and thank you for the same thing I wrote that down about God always puts more on our plates than we can handle, so that we have to turn to Him. Thank you. That's wonderful. Yeah, that's all.
Thanks. All right, we're about out of time now. Thank you. Let's thank our panel and Mr. Harrington. Thank you all for a great meeting. All right, it's time to pass the seventh tradition best. The seventh tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Although the amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world, you may want to remember that a dollar does not support as many services as it used to. And does anybody have any AA-related announcements? I mean, I have one, but I can almost tell somebody else got one for me. No? All right, so this home group is having supper and a speaker. We have these beautiful orange flyers, just like Mike's hoodie back there, sitting over here on the literature table, so please take some if you'd like. That is Monday, November 12th. I've seen a lot of you there. You know it's a great time. If you haven't been, then come, because it is a great time. You can trust me. 6 p.m. is the potluck, and bring a dish if you wish. If not, bring yourself. 7 p.m. is the speaker, and his name is Merv L. He's coming down from Charlottesville. That is Monday, November 12th, 6 p.m.
Mark, when is that breakfast?
Gratitude breakfast is November 10th.
I That the gratitude breakfast is like the four districts that I guess are in this Hampton Roads area come together and have a big breakfast meeting.
And each district has a speaker for about 20 minutes, if I remember correctly. And that's November 10th at Bayside Presbyterian at 9:30 in the morning, if I remember correctly as well. I would have announced it if I had it in front of me. I didn't want to butcher it, but thank you both for that. Are there any other announcements?
Yes.
My name is Jim. I'm now calling.
Hey, Jim.
October 26th, 27th, and 28th, Whiskey Pod is coming to Virginia. It's Young People's and Alcoholics Anonymous. It's down at Holiday Inn on 39th Street. We'll have a dance Saturday night. Got a bunch of speakers, workshops, the whole nine yards. So all is in requested to join us. Have a good time.
Awesome. Thanks, Jim. Are there any other announcements? All right. Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Will all home group members please raise their hand? All right. Newcomers. Is there anyone in the first 30 days of sobriety we would like to welcome you? By your first name.
I am Tom.
Hey, Tom. Welcome.
Hey,
Andrea, welcome.
Nobody else?
Hi, I'm Brent, I'm Paul.
Hey,
Brent, welcome.
Steve.
Welcome.
All right, is that everybody? Okie dokie. Literature is available over here to my right, your left. If you can fold it, it's free. Books have the price on the inside, so you home group member, if you'd like to purchase the books, no, you can't fold them, they're not free. Sponsorship questions. Sponsorship in AA is yours to be asking. We urge you do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be right here at this table after the meeting. Please feel free to talk to me. Reminders. Smokers, please use the butt can provided outside and stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. In closing, let's thank the panel and everybody else again. All right. After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the step discussed tonight at the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Plaza del Sol on 22nd and Colonial. So you turn right on Colonial out of here, and it's 22nd Street. It's right on your right-hand side. You cross the tracks, you're too far. I have asked a friend to read the last two paragraphs on page 164. That friend's David.
Can I be your friend?
He's gearing up for it, I can see.
I'm an alcoholic. My name's David.
Hey, David.
Hey, David.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. Great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the records of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
All right, thank you all. Let's close the meeting with the Lord's Prayer.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.